Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey everybody, welcome to the BTW Beginner to Winner PvP podcast. My name is Chris, aka AstroZombie954.
And my name is Jacob, aka Dino en Mágico.
And we are joined today by two very special guests from the GoCast PvP corner. I'm going to let them introduce themselves because they will do it much better than I can do.
All right, I am DeFi250. I am a Pokemon Go streamer on Twitch. I use Instagram. What else do you want to know about me?
Whatever you want to tell us.
Yeah, whatever if you feel like sharing.
Yeah.
Well, I co-host PvP Corner with Fish on a Heater for the GoCast podcast, and I tend to do more of a no numbers kind of approach to PvP, like a beginner friendly is what I try to do with my content.
That's dope.
Perfect, perfect. And then we have a very handsome man joining us here. And
you guys aren't too bad yourselves.
We'll let him introduce himself.
I'm Fish on a Heater, the only BTW listener from Australia.
Yep.
This is true. I'm found out as we were jumping into the recording. I like DeFi, do Twitch. I have been making YouTube content, but it's been a little while since I've done my last video. Been battling competitively since the start, January 2019. So very much into it. It's taken over everything.
Yeah, it does that. I feel like my wife is like constantly, you play way too much Pokemon now.
Yeah.
I'm like, it happens.
I'm very lucky in that my partner also plays and also does Silph Arena. So
interesting.
Yeah, she gets it. She's into it.
That's awesome. Wow, yeah, that's awesome. I think I killed it for her. She started and then it was like every weekend I'm like, all right, let's go catch some Pokemon. She's like, I can't anymore. I can't do this.
Yeah. My partner more humors me. Like, he'll play and he'll do Sylph tournaments to help us get to 8 people in my local, but he's not, like, into it.
That story you told about how he had to take your phone away on your wedding days was absolutely amazing.
That is awesome.
It's true facts.
So, everyone had a good week? Yes? Anything exciting? Did we catch anything exciting this week?
No, not me. Not like you, Chris.
No?
The Kanto tour happened.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. We'll get into that. But besides that, no. Yeah, I guess. Okay. Well, I guess I was the only one who caught something worth talking about. I caught actually a Shundo Wigglytuff for Ultra League, which I'm very excited to power up and spend a ton of stardust.
I haven't seen one of those in Ultra League, so you'd probably be the first.
Well, I hope so. I need to finish my Diggersby before I start that one.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely.
And then I got like a 90% shiny Lickitung. Licky Licky. Mm-hmm. Pretty excited about those two. That was like my exciting thing, like sending on Medina. I was like, look what I got.
You're always rubbing it in my face.
Yeah.
I would too.
So since I was the only one who've had anything worth bragging about, I guess, let's go ahead and jump into our Silph Arena.
Self Arena News.
This is the best reaction only see to it. Yeah, no. Bobbing your head like that.
That was too funny.
Because so just a little behind the scenes, we actually are recording on a different platform and where we can actually play the music while we're recording, which Dino is like, whoa, like everyone is just, it's much better this way.
It's a lot better.
Sylph, we are what, 2 weeks, a week left in Labyrinth, and then they just announced the new cup for the new meta for March, which unfortunately I did not get a chance to watch. I think DeFi got a chance to watch it. But before we get into anything new, let's go over what we've been seeing, what's going on with Labyrinth Cup. Let's go with our guest. So just so you guys know, Dino doesn't really play Sylph all that much anymore. He's more of a, I'm going to coach you and help you guys through Sylph, opposed to actually playing. I know you guys play. I've actually played both of you in one of the tournaments that we're in, and you both beat me, which I guess is expected.
Ours was close. My battle with you was like razor thin.
They were both really close. And just so you guys know, whenever I send them to Dino, and Dino's like, you should have done this, you should have done that. Because honestly, that's the best way to learn, is learning from your losses. If you win, you don't learn from a win. I mean, you can, but it's a win and you chalk it up and then you just move on. But when you lose, you actually like go back and look at it, which is what I do constantly.
Oh, yeah.
So, Fish, what have you been seeing? Anything different besides your standard like top 10, top 15 meta picks like that you've seen kind of creeping up through the ranks?
No, it's actually, I'm a bit surprised because my initial reaction to this meta was that it was going to be so wide open and so varied and unique. And I'm surprised that even this meta has seemed to collapse into a pretty standard meta. I haven't actually seen much outside of the AWACS, the Ninetales, the Vigoroths, etc.
That's pretty much, yeah. I was hoping to see a little more variety throughout the tournaments, but it's kind of the same thing. Have you been seeing the same, DeFi?
Yeah, a lot of the same. Like, looking at my team, the most common Pokemon, like, that's my team. About as spicy as a glass of milk, but... Yeah. That's your AWAC, Big, Ninetales, Politoed, like that. I have all of that.
Oh, yeah, a lot of Politoed, a lot of Whiskash. I have seen a couple of Jellicent, which I'm happy to see, because I spent a couple of GoCast episodes spruking Jellicent as a nice, cool pick. And, it's good to see that one has been getting some love.
Yeah, I think Friday did a live with GoCast. And there was only one person running Jellicent, and that was the only one. He used it once. I figured he was going to run it, because if you're going to put it on your team, you're going to at least use it in one battle. So I figured he was going to use it in the first one, and I ran my Zangoose, and luckily was able to lock into it, and he was just... You can tell he didn't run it the rest of it.
Yeah,
he didn't run it the rest of it.
I saw that video. I think you sent that to me.
That was actually the best I've done this entire cup so far. I actually tied. It was a three-way tie for first place. It was myself.
So excited, dude. It was so awesome.
I know. I was. It's the first time I've ever gotten in first place.
Yeah.
So congrats. I was excited. I totally forgot about it, and then I looked down at my phone, and my Discord just blowing up, like people like tagging me, and I'm like, okay, all right. So I jump in. First one went through 3-0, and then I was like, okay. Next battle, I win. I went 2-1. I'm like, okay. And then it was only four rounds. And the third round, I played Camo, which you guys know. And he's a good player. Like, he's good. And the one running. Yeah, he was running Jellicent. And
oh, yeah. That's the guy, right?
And
yeah, now I remember.
I lost the first one. And then I took the last two. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I could sweep this. Like, this is a good possibility. There was only one other person in that tournament that I knew just visually looking at that I didn't want to play. And that was Legendary Mu. And don't ask. I think he had one loss and something else. And don't ask me how we got paired up. Even he was like, in the chat, was like, I don't know why we're paired up. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, it's because they don't want me to win. They don't want me to just sweep the tournament. So I played him and he swept me. That's the second time I played him this tournament, and I just can't get around his Politoed. He knows that I can't get around it, and he brings it every single match. And I don't know why I can't, but no matter what I bring, he's got my number when it comes to that. So I'll take a tie up there. So
has this cup like become stale for you guys, or is it still fun?
I'm still having a great time playing it. I'm in how many tournaments right now? Like 4 or 5.
You can't keep count.
I can't keep count, but awesome. I'm doing really well in the Girls at PvP Mega. I'm currently 5-0.
Wow.
And I don't think anyone else has. Like, I think, like, looking at it, I think I get the gold no matter what happens in the 6th round. I'm going to try for a sweep, awesome. But...
How many rounds?
6 rounds. So I think I get the gold no matter what. Nobody else has 5 points.
Wow. That's crazy.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's... You're probably getting ace off of that.
Yeah, because I've, like... we started, I'm like, I think I'm ranking this one. I think this is it.
Yeah.
I have been having the opposite. I have not had a good month at all. I actually attribute that partly to the fact that I haven't made any YouTube content for a while, because what that YouTube content does is forces me to rewatch my battles and analyze them to within an inch of their lives. I really learn a lot doing that. I probably learn more than what the viewers are learning. Because I haven't been doing that, I haven't really taken the time to learn, like, how to flip the matchups that aren't the best for me, like what I have to do to beat a Politoed with my Regirock, etc.
I mean, that's super important, is, you know, for anyone that's running even GBL, is recording your matches and going back and watching it, because I don't think I would have gotten to where I was Friday in this cup if it wasn't for me recording it, being able to share it with Dino. And Dino, like I said it last week, like, sometimes when I send him these videos, I'm like, he's gonna quit. Like, he's gonna just jump off this podcast and just be like, you go have fun. I can't.
Yeah. I just give you the benefit of the doubt and just say you had a bad day.
Yes, it's he's like, are you okay? Were you doing something? What was going on?
The first thing
match?
I always ask, like, were you like fully concentrated? Like, what is, like, the kids around? Like, you gotta tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too funny.
So we, me and DeFi, we played recently. Whoa, and apparently that's my phone.
I never, when I heard the sound, because I always play with my sound off. So when you sent me your video with the sound on, I was like, what is this?
That's funny. I'm leaving this in. that is a good, well, the reason I'm leaving it in is because that's a good point, because we've talked numerous episodes. It's like the one thing Dino always preaches to any new player and even current players is playing with the sound on so that you can learn your counts and you can figure it out.
See, I don't count. Never have, never will. So
I think I mentioned in one of the episodes that there's just like those people that are just naturally good, and that's obviously her, because I can't do that. I need to count.
Nope. I never ever count. So that's why, like, the sound just is distracting. Like, I can't.
I hated it for a long time. Like, it wasn't until even when we started and we did the episode about playing with sound, I still didn't play with sound for like a good like week or two after. And then I just was like, let me just do it. So I did it. I put my headphones in. I turned it down like just so I can hear it, because it can get pretty like ear piercing, some of those Pokemon
those cries.
So, but it helped. It helped me, you know, a lot. And I know it's helped, you know, some of the other players that we've been helping, you know, they say the same thing, like playing with the sound does help with the count, because sometimes the animation doesn't match up with the sound, you know, the sound will come and then like there'll be, you know, a second delay or something like that.
Especially with like the one turn fast moves.
Yeah, when you switch in a Pokemon, you don't see that visual fast attack, but you can hear it though.
Right.
Yeah, the other thing I noticed when playing with the sound is the fast move that comes in when you're shielding. Like when they're throwing the charge move.
And when you can't deny the fast move?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, wait, hold on. Like, what is that about? So me and DeFi played this week. And like I said, she won. I think it was 2-1. I won the first one or the middle?
I think you won the one in the middle.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
So we're going to post the video on Twitter after this episode airs so that you guys can see. And we sent it to everyone. Everyone got a chance to watch it, I hope. Yes.
I definitely did. Yes. So I put the videos together.
Fish just woke up, so I doubt he actually I don't know if he got to watch it yet. So I'm gonna ask my opponent, since you know she watched it and played it, you know, what were some of your takeaways from the match?
I don't know, my big thing is always just like, Weatherball is amazing. Weatherball is life. Weatherball is bae.
Super annoying though.
And now everything's got it.
Yeah,
right.
But it's so crazy how fast it charges up. Like in GBL this week, Dino gave me a team to run. It was Swampert, Abomasnow, and then I was started with Skarmory, but then switched to AWAC. And I didn't realize, like, playing with Abomasnow, I haven't played with him in such a long time, like how fast those weather balls just boop 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 boop. So
yeah, so everything with weather ball also has those fast charging fast moves, like your Mudshot, your Powder Snow. It's turned Great League into like a very fast and hard league. Like everything's shield pressure. You're like, once those shields are down, you're in a lot of trouble.
Hey everybody, this is AstroZombie954. So at this point in the podcast, we were watching the video of me and DeFi battling. It made for some interesting and unusual content, but not something that we wanted to keep in the podcast. So we did cut it out. We are going to post the videos on our Twitter. You can go watch those. And so when it picks back up and it sounds a little weird, you guys know why.
And now, on with the show.
So before that, like we mentioned on last week's episode, I played Fish. Fish, I think, swept me. I'm pretty sure.
No, you got me on the third.
Oh, I got you on the third.
Yeah, you got me.
You probably switched your team and was like, let me give him one.
Actually, that's a bad habit that I've got, is that I switch it up every single battle. And for those who might not know, I was part of the Sylph All-Star tournament, which was a team tournament where just a lot of high ranking battlers or content creators or just prominent community members were invited to just to take part in this kind of showcase team tournament. I played against a fellow Australian PvP Steve, and he the closest matches you'll ever see, but he did get me 2-1, and afterwards he told me that he, trying to get some sort of advantage, he studied past battles between him and myself, and he noticed that I changed my lead every single battle. And so he predicted that for this set, and that's what enabled him to, you know, more accurately predict what my lead would be, and that enabled him to get the win. So it's a bad habit that I want to stop.
Yeah.
And I'm working on that one.
It's hard. Like, I think this cup was the first one where I've been pretty steady with my leads, you know, at least through the matches. Normally it's Ninetales. I feel really comfortable throwing, you know, a low Ninetales out there at lead. But that's something like I always have a hard time doing is I'll do that first battle and then I'm like, oh man, I got to switch my lead, you know, because they're going to come back with the same thing. So I can't, you know, get stuck. So let me do this. And then next thing I know, like, I just threw away the entire match because I just gave up lead and there was no way of getting it back.
I'm too stubborn. Like, even if I lose with a line of three, I was like if I lose the first round with a line of three, sometimes I'm like, no, I can do that better. Bring that, like, I come up on a opponent, bring that same thing.
Bring that same team.
Bring that same thing, and I'm going to bring that same thing. I can do this better. But that's not how it works. So I just bring it the same. I'm like, no, I know there's a win condition here. I gotta find it.
Which, to be fair, that is the case. Like, there's always a win condition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was one thing that Dino always said was like, he told me, he's like, why do you switch? So like, he's like, you're winning your leads. Like, why are you switching it?
Yeah. Giving up switch advantage.
Exactly. And that was like the hardest thing is even learning the, you know, if I got pair, you know, match, if I lost lead, like right off the start, like I get an AWAC against my Alolan Ninetales, that's loss. Like that's, mm-hmm. You lost that lead. So my first move was always to instantly switch out, like immediately switch out. And Dino was finally like, please stop switching out. He's like, yes, you lost that lead, but if you're bringing in your only counter for AWAC, you lost switch. Like you lost your switch advantage. You're done, because now they know you got nothing else and they're going to switch out and then you're stuck. So that was something that took some time to learn and mm-hmm. get used to, because I think it's your natural reaction as a competitor in any type of game, whether, you know, regardless of it being Pokemon or anything, is, you know, when you get out there and you see, you know, your hard counter right away, like you're just like, I gotta get out of here, like run for the hills, like it's done. But then when you're switching into your only counter and not having a soft counter in the back or something, you know, that can play, then it just throws off the entire match.
No, I definitely agree. That's something when I decided, like in my journey to get good, one of the first things, like I joined Zionix Discord along like Sylph season one around regional time. And the two pieces of advice he gave me right away was record my battles and stop switching into your hard counter right away. Those are like, and that's what I tell people when they're like, the main thing I tell people is record your battles, but that's the second thing is stop switching into your hard counter. Something I love to do with the GBL team I'm running for Great League. If I lose like Azumarill into, like if I lose, sometimes I'll switch into my defense Deoxys, even though my lanterns would technically be the hard counter. And I can like trick my opponent into thinking, oh, she doesn't have anything better. And then like play the mind game a little bit.
The mind games.
Mm-hmm.
My thought process is always like one of the first things I look at when I'm constructing my team of three is when I'm picking the lead, I always want to make sure that the other two Pokemon are Pokemon that can beat the Pokemon that beat my lead. So it's kind of like the way the, I was going to compare it to the ABB line, but that's not really a fair comparison. So basically, if I do lose that lead and I do need to switch out, I know that I can try and match up that losing lead with a Pokemon that is better for that matchup. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, that made sense. Dino, I'm sure you've got some things to add on this.
I just didn't hear the question.
So we were discussing what we had mentioned before about losing leads, and then Fish had brought up when he's constructing his teams, having your Pokemon in the middle that you want to use, and then
whatever beats the lead.
Right. I think we kind of went through a video on an episode on that. But yeah, like for example, like the team I gave you, I feel like is very like good coverage. At least like for me, team comps, like later on you learn how to sort of, it's not predictable anymore. Like the team I'm running right now on one of my other accounts is like, for example, Bastiodon, Toxicroak, and Meganium. And I got that from a local, and the team is just like, it doesn't make sense. Like if you usually, I guess you see a Bastiodon, the first thing you think about is like Grass Hole. So like you think about like two Razor Leaf in the back, or you think about like what Bastiodon loses is fighting water. So I guess like bringing Toxicroak is kind of like helps. It's like a neutral against fighting because it resists fighting attacks. So it's just like the more practice you have like doing the basic concept of team comps, then you have like a better knowledge of like kind of mixing things up a little bit more.
That team has an interesting thing about it, which was a very early strategy in the whole evolution of PvP, but I don't think gets talked about very much these days, which is the idea of a sac swap. So if you do lose the lead with your Bastiodon and switch into your Meganium, chances are if your opponent has a flyer like an Altaria or a Skarmory, they're going to switch that in, right? And it's very easy to think, oh no, I'm in a lot of trouble. But what's actually going to happen is that no matter how badly that Skarmory beats your Meganium, suddenly, you know, your Meganium's gone, they're still switch locked, and so out comes the Bastiodon, and it doesn't care how much energy the Skarmory's built up, it can just smack that thing down until the cows come home.
And suddenly you're back to, you know, even footing. And Bastiodon, for what it's worth, has a bunch of energy left over that it can fire onto that next Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like we mentioned before, Sylph announced today the new cup meta for March. I don't think they posted it. At least I checked before we started recording. I don't know if they posted it on Twitter yet.
As we are speaking.
Okay.
PvP Academia is doing, they're going over a live Labyrinth Cup, and I think they're doing it right at the end. So maybe by the time we are done, they'll have the meta announced, but we do have the picture.
They should have consulted with us before deciding on the timing there.
Yeah, we tried to play this guess what the meta is from the picture, and yeah, we were like way off with with it.
Yeah, no, we were completely off.
It's funny, every month for like since like late season two, I've looked at the badge and been like, oh, we're finally gonna get back to like not a type based meta, and every time I've been wrong. And then this was like the first month in however long that I've been like, oh, so the types are probably this and this, and then it's like, oh, it's all unique typing, and I'm like, ah, you keep on getting me.
That's it. But that's what they're supposed to do, right?
Yeah. Which, yeah, good on them.
So hopefully by the time we finish recording, they'll have announced, you know, what next month's meta is. If not, we will retweet it. I'm sure, you know, Fish and DeFi will probably retweet, you know, tweet it out too. And then we'll talk about it.
What are we guessing?
I don't know.
Have you seen the badge?
I haven't.
I saw it.
It does look cool.
The badge is pretty. It's a cool looking badge.
It's like the teal and the pink.
Yeah, it's like that teal and then that like fuchsia and black. So like it looks like a tornado kind of.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, it does look like a tornado.
Like a tempest kind of thing.
I like the coloring. It's very, very Miami Vice. I've got nothing on this one.
I can't even guess what that would be.
It could just be called the Tornado Cup or Hurricane Cup or something like that. I mean, flying seems like an obvious one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it could be like a modified Tempest kind of thing. Because like when I think of tornadoes, like storms.
True.
Maybe they'll just do something where they ban anything that carries Weather Ball.
I would be so sad.
Deep might be like, I'm not playing this month. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out.
Call me next month.
First time ever the DeFi misses a cup.
Yeah, just like you, Fish. I've been playing since, you know, Boulder Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't start. I actually did not start doing Sylph until, what was it? Right before Sorcerer's Cup or right at Sorcerer's Cup. And I was terrible.
We all are. That's all right.
I got that fun badge that says you didn't win any battles this match, but here's a badge. All right.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, can I delete that one? Can I hide it? But you know, it's like, whatever. It was like, I can't be the only one that has that badge because otherwise they wouldn't have made it.
Right.
Yeah, that's a really good way of looking at it.
Yeah, yes, that's positivity. How to gotta switch the negativity to positivity. So if we get any news about what the meta is for March, we'll talk about it towards the end of the show. If not, we'll retweet it. And then I'm sure we're all going to be talking about it on our next episodes as soon as it gets posted. So let's go ahead and talk about what's going on in the in-game news.
It's the in-game
news! Seeing your guys' faces every time the music comes on is awesome. It makes it so much better.
I love the drop, like it.
Yes.
It's suddenly just more in your face.
Yeah, exactly. That's my music background coming in, you know, that's the climax of the song, you know. So yesterday for us US people was Kanto Cup. For Fish, it was what, two and a half weeks ago. 2.5 weeks ago. Your time zone confuses me so much. Like, I'm just like, wait.
Yeah.
Try recording with them every week.
Especially since I'm on a half hour time zone, which
that's even weirder.
A lot of Americans are surprised that exists.
Yeah, no. And I learned also that you guys call shrimp prongs.
Well, yeah, that's been a discussion. Apparently they are two different things.
Oh, okay. So they're two different things. They're not shrimp.
Yeah. But yeah, they look I think, like shrimp. Prawns live in salt water, I think is the difference. And they're bigger. No, the shrimp are bigger. Anyway, this isn't, you know.
Nope, I'm continuing it. Capsicum is the thing that drives me bonkers. Like, what is a capsicum?
Oh, capsicum. Oh, yeah.
It's a bell pepper.
It is the botanically correct name for that food.
And you weirdos are the only ones who call it that.
So wait, there's an actual, like, the bell pepper has a different name?
Yeah. In Australia, they call it a capsicum. And he said that on his stream once, and I haven't let it go. I heard it one time, and it still, like, blows my mind that that exists. Because yeah. I've heard other, like, the other word for eggplant. Like, I've heard that before. Like, that...
Aubergine?
Yeah, the aubergine. Like, I've heard that. Like, that's not completely foreign to me. But well, you
we
know
call that
I mean?
One eggplant. That's yeah. right.
We call that one eggplant.
At age 29, I had never heard another word for bell pepper in the English-speaking world.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, me neither.
You got me on that one.
So here's an interesting one. I was in Italy when I was younger, and I ordered a pepperoni pizza. But pepperoni in Italy is their word for bell peppers. So I was expecting, you know, salami-like toppings. But yeah, it was just these big slices of capsicum bell peppers, whatever you want to call them, just all along the pizza. And I was like,
what is this? I didn't order it again.
Yeah. Miss Scusi.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So besides Fish's weird terms for food and the fact that he lives in the future.
Correct.
How was everybody's Kanto tour?
It was good. I really enjoyed that I could play a good chunk of it from home. I couldn't do the battles against the challenger battles.
Yeah, that was
but a lot of it. Like, I could rock my incense at home. I did that for, like, the first half of, you know, like, Pallet through Victory Road. And then the second half, once I got my collection challenges done, I went out and did, like, the battles and raids and stuff. So I kind of divided my day in half. First half of the day was on the couch in my PJs catching things. And then the second half was go out, and then I could come home for the last 2 hours and just chill.
Dino, how was yours?
Just like her, I spent it mostly at home. I think I went to the park for, like, 2 hours. And then, I mean, got some cool shinies. I did get a bunch of, like, was it Sandru? Like, I got like 5 of them, and most of them were through the gacha, so that was cool. But besides that, I mean, like, it's just, you know, some cool shinies, some nice trades, and I think I got all my tasks done except for the challenger ones. That's about it.
Nice. And Fish, I know it's far back in the past, but how was yours?
Oh, but those memories will live on forever. That I actually really, really enjoyed it. I'm incredibly lucky where I am in Australia, because we have practically no COVID here. So and also our seasons are backwards. So it's
yeah, I was gonna say it's summer for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's summer here. So I was at the beach all day.
Well, we're in Florida, so it's
oh yeah,
here,
right.
So.
Yeah.
Everywhere else in the country is experiencing horrific snowstorms, and you're just, you know, out in the backyard on the deck chair.
Yeah, it was like 67 degrees last night, and I like had a jacket on. I'm like, oh, I gotta button this up.
Me sitting here checking, you know, it's like 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
So gross.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I get daily updates from DeFi on what minus it is.
Oh, that's terrible.
It was minus 40 with the wind chill the other day, and I just I delight in sharing those.
I didn't think humans lived in that kind of temperature.
I don't think we were supposed to.
We do in Wisconsin. Jeez.
But yeah, I don't shiny grind. That's not why I play Pogo. So the whole idea of the collection challenges was something that I actually responded to and got me interested in going out and playing the game. The music was really great and nostalgic. I loved hearing that. Like, it is really, really on point. Music.
I
didn't realize that until recently. Yeah, it's classic. Yeah, it's and it's not just a nostalgia. I think it like genuinely captures a mood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really well done.
Yeah, for sure.
Got a shiny Articuno in my first raid, and a bunch of other shinies that I didn't have yet, which, you know, even though that's not why I play the game, it's still cool getting one.
Yeah, same here.
Especially when they're PvP IVs and then you could shiny flex, like, it's always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I've only got one PvP shiny, like one Pokemon that is shiny that I've powered up and double moved for PvP, and that is a Steelix. What about you guys? Are you the same or like similar?
I've got, mine is Primeape.
Ooh.
And I just caught it yesterday, actually. So I'm excited. Like, I had a good Primeape and then I caught it and I was like, yes.
That's awesome.
I powered him up already and double moved him and ready to go.
Are you going to Elite TM cross chop onto it?
No, I'm keeping Ice Punch and what is it? Night Slash, I think, right? Is it Night Slash?
It's got both of those. I have run it in tournaments with Ice Punch and Close Combat. No, Night Slash, mm-hmm. Close Combat. It didn't have Ice Punch at the time. So I haven't actually used it since Ice Punch came in. So I'd be interested to see how that feels, how different that feels.
Yeah, I was excited to use it. And then I didn't know when they messed up and gave it, what was it, Weather Ball. And they banned it from GBL. And I was so excited. Like, I was like, I put it on there, Elite TM. I'm like, yes, all right, let's go. And I'm like, where is it? Like, looking. I'm like, I can't find it. And then by the time it was, I don't know if they fixed it yet or hopefully they fixed it. I haven't tried. I don't want to be disappointed.
Yeah. they took Weather Ball off and gave all the affected trainers 50,000 Stardust.
Wow.
Yeah. Imagine all those people that just did, like, I think five of them. I think I have a few locals that did like five Primates with it. So imagine just how much Stardust they got.
Oh, man. that'd be nice. I wasn't sure whether it was like 50,000 per Primeape.
Yeah, or I mean, whether it was just, I don't know, actually, not that
50,000 per trainer.
But if it was per Primeape, that would be a haul.
Yeah,
yeah, and you still get to keep that second move. So
yeah, right.
So they're basically what they're doing, I guess, for the rest of the week. It seems like they're just kind of extending Kanto tour. So it's not like you're going to have your starter spawns. It's all going to be kind of basically the same spawns, and then they're going to do the Kanto raid day. Just, you know, so Fish and DeFi, know we don't try it. We don't really do too much of like that kind of news. We leave that for like GoCast and MPGR and Lured Up because they're better at that than we are. But the big thing that came out was we got next month's community day. I like it. I mean, I like the last one. I know you guys looked at it from a PvP standpoint. I know a lot of people were just dumping all over it, but we were both all for Roselia. And now we've got Fletchling, yes, with Incinerate. And I've used Pokemon that have Incinerate as a fast move, mainly Chandelure in Ultra League, and that thing it's so much fun. It's super slow, like throwing it out there, and you have to really get used to playing with that move because it's a second slower than Confusion and Charm.
It's half a second, isn't it? It's half a second slower than Confusion.
Okay.
I am 95% sure.
It's a 5-turn move as opposed to Confusion's 4-turn.
Okay. All right.
Take that. Sorry.
It does. It takes some getting used to, but it charges those moves, your charge moves, so quick. Right. So I'm super excited for that. What were some of your guys' takes on it? Were you guys excited?
Well, I'm excited because it's basically going to be like Ho-Oh, but attainable in Great League. Technically, it's Ho-Oh's attainable in Great League, but you have to like really jump through some hoops to do it. Like, yeah, like, what is it? You have to get one that's that small and then trade it.
Yeah, and lower the IVs and...
Like, way lower the IVs, where, like, you can totally get a Talonflame for both Great and Ultra League, no problem. It's definitely the opposite of my playstyle. I love spam, like, Weather Ball is, like, all me. I love the spammy, I love spammy charge moves. I love quick, fast moves. Dragon Breath, all those, anything that happens fast, that's tends to be where I do best. I don't really like my Confusion and Charm users, but I think it's really cool to have that option of like that fire flying that actually people can have in the Great League and in the Ultra League. It's definitely more attainable than a legendary.
Yeah, there's people saying that it might be a replacement for Charizard now as a better, you know, Pokemon for Great League, which
it's bulkier.
Yeah, it's bulkier, so I can definitely see it, and especially because it has a Flame Charge and Brave Bird, so it's scary.
Yeah, so like almost as hard hitting as Charizard, but also tankier.
Exactly. So yeah, it's definitely going to be relevant.
Oh, for sure.
I am wondering if, because like a lot of the most recent adjustments that have been made to move sets and moves themselves, they've left it open which move you use. So, for example, Shadow Bone versus Shadow Ball on Marowak. Like, Shadow Bone was not a strict upgrade. You can still decide whether you want the more consistent damage of Shadow Bone or the nuke damage of Shadow Ball. And that seems to be the direction that Niantic has been going with adjusting the meta, is giving you more options to decide how you want to play. And so I wonder if this will fit that pattern, whether, like, you can still decide, oh, I want Incinerate or Fire Spin, or whether Incinerate will just be a strict upgrade.
Good question.
My gut feeling would be that you'll rarely find any Talonflame with Fire Spin once Community Day happens. I think generally people will be just sticking with Incinerate because of that much higher energy generation.
Do you guys think it'll be more relevant in Great League or Ultra with that move?
I mean, in Ultra League, it only hits, what is it, 2493 at level 50? Like, I don't think, like, I'm trying to think of, like, the average player. Like, a lot of people aren't going to put that level 50 grind into, they might, but I'm thinking, like, a lot of players aren't even at 40. So, like, for competitive, like, when you go really competitive, it's kind of like how Fish and I were talking about XL Lickitung. Like, I think we're going to start seeing it a little more now that Kanto Tour happened, but that still requires people to have that much Lickitung XL and be willing to put that investment into it.
I mean, I've seen a team of three level 50, so I wouldn't be surprised anymore.
Yeah, and I caught, I think 50 was my count on my Lickitung, and I got 4 Candy XL. Yeah. So
like, yeah, you had to catch enough to begin with, and then also get the XL candy from it as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't see that. But I mean, Fletching has been out a lot more. I know almost every day, I think when I open, that's my daily spawn, you know, in the morning. It's either that one or Chespin, which has been good. And it's been like that for about a week now. So I don't know if maybe it's broke, but I'm not complaining. So
my daily spawn's been frokey all the time. And I'm like, I'm good. Don't fix what I broke.
Dino gets mad at me every time I send him a picture of a new Froakie, I guess.
Yeah, you're not finding him?
No, I don't find any. It's so rare for me.
So, and he loves Greninja. So, like, when I evolved mine, I was like, hey, send him a screenshot.
He just does it on purpose at this point.
It's the only thing I could get. Like, he sends me, like, oh, I hit Legend today. And I'm like, I got a Froakie. Ha ha ha. I got a perfect one. So that Community Day is going to be March 6th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. local time. My thing with kind of what they're doing is, this is now the second Community Day in a row without Double Stardust, which I don't like. I get, like, the grind for level 50, so everything, like, I know what last month was XP for hatching, right? And then this one is 3x catch XP, but I need my Stardust, and I will... Community days are much better when Stardust is doubled or tripled.
I mean, it's on a pretty consistent rotation. So if it was hatch distance last time and it's catch XP this time, it should be, there's usually 3 bonuses, right? Should be Stardust next time?
It should be.
It should just be Stardust every single time. There shouldn't be the other ones. Or, like, give us 2x Stardust and then, like, 2x catch XP. Like, you know, if you want to throw it in there.
If PvPers ran the world.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, you know, me and Dino made a point when everyone was going nuts about Roselia, was, have you noticed, like, the moves are starting to geared a lot more towards that PvP world? You know, you're getting Bullet Seed and Weather Ball. You got Payback, even though Payback on Machamp, not many people are running it, but it was still something that you're not using in raids. Like, you know, you're using, you know, what is it? Rock Slide. But it was a move to give it more coverage. And I've noticed now with the acquisition that they made with, what is it, Mayhem, that these Community Day moves and these Community Days are starting to be a lot more geared towards, like, the PvP community, which I think is awesome.
I actually think that that's been happening for a long time. I have a list of all the previous community days in front of me here.
Okay.
And if we want to go back through the list, we have that Roselia with, so the Roserade with Bullet Thief and Weatherball. Mm-hmm. So we know that's PvP relevant. Then before that was Machamp with Payback. Obviously, Payback's not going to make it any more relevant for raids. That's definitely a PvP move. Then November was Magmortar and Electivire getting a, so Magmortar got an electric move and Electivire got a fire move. And we had Charizard with Dragon Breath. We had Porygon Z with Tri-Attack. We had Gyarados with Aqua Tail. That's a stab move, but it's not going to increase its raid viability. Gengar with Shadow Punch, Beedrill with Drill Run, Shiftry with Bullet Seed. I mean, you could argue that that makes it slightly more relevant than it was for raids, yeah. But it's still not going to be something you bring into your raid. Alakazam with Counter. And then finally, when you get to February last year, we've got Rhyperior with Rock Wrecker. And that's kind of the last time we've had a properly raid relevant community day.
Wow. Yeah. I kind of forgot about all those.
I'm trying to think of like the last time there was a truly you don't want this move on the Pokemon. Like Synchronoise would probably be the last one. That one or Mamoswine with Ancient Power.
Oh yeah, I think it was probably that one.
Because even like Synchronoise at the time was like it had like good viability for coverage reasons. Mm-hmm. Now they've boosted Psychic though, so Psychic is definitively a better move than Synchronoise was.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody runs Ancient Power on Mamoswine. So
I have a shiny move for collection purposes. I have a collection purpose one. That's not the one I use for anything.
it's named Do Not Use. Basically. So, you know, they're going to do your normal community day box for 1,280 Pokecoins. That is going to give you 50 Ultra Balls, 5 Lucky Eggs, Poffin, and then an Elite Fast TM. So, and then, you know, for $1, you can get your special research. I do it because I'm a sucker and I buy all of them, you know, but that's just me. I'm excited about this one. I like the Pokemon. I think it's a cool Pokemon. I like the move that it's getting. I've used it, so I'm comfortable using it. I think it's going to be interesting come, what is it? Season seven GBL?
Yeah.
No, I would say it's arguably the best, like Route 1 bird. Don't tell my friend Pidgey Grabber about that, but...
No, I like it. So a good transition into our GBL section. It's awesome every time.
And this is all, like, all of these things have been your creation.
The music, you know, those are royalty-free ones that I purchased for the show, but I've added...
Okay, cool.
I've added, like, my own little flair to it. So, you know, the in-game news, those are my kids actually saying it's the in-game news. I recorded them saying it a whole bunch of times so I could layer it on top of each other, make it sound like there's like a whole bunch of them saying it. So yeah, they heard it yesterday for the first time in the car. So, and they were like, oh, we're on the radio.
That's us.
Yeah. You know, they're pretty excited. So GBL time, we are ending season 6, right? Is it done or it ends Monday?
Technically Kanto Cup ends it, but Kanto Cup isn't ranked.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we've got another couple days of regular GB, like open, great, ultra, master, and then a week of Kanto.
Okay.
Unranked.
So I like that idea of having like that Kanto Cup and then it not being ranked. It's a change of pace, but it also gives people who are not super competitive a chance to just go and have fun. And then it gives the people like Dino, who is, I don't know if you've hit legend on all three of your accounts yet, but you're close to it.
Not yet.
It gives him a break to, you know, where he can not play as hard now because there's nothing. Even if he did, you know, win every single battle, it's not going to affect him in any sort of way. I like that. How did we all do? I know we still got, you know, like DeFi said, a couple days left in season 6, but where is everybody? Did we hit our goals? Or are we like right there? I know my goal was what comes after, I'm at ace. What comes after ace?
Legend.
Better legend.
Veteran.
I'm sorry. Veteran. This is how much I play GBL.
My goal was to hit veteran. I'm like 500 off, so I don't. Maybe. I lost like a whole bunch of points during World Cup. Like, even though my team was good, I was losing. So I actually was like, I dropped out of the 2000s into like the mid 1900s and I just couldn't get out of it. But now that we're back, you know, with all the cups running and running the team that Dino suggested to me, which I'll go over up into the, into 2000, but I'm still like, I'm floating within like that, like 2000, you know, 100 area.
Yep.
So Dino has hit legend how many times?
Yeah, just twice.
Just twice.
Well, season 4 was just, ranked 10? Mm-hmm. So it was in Legend then. And then I really don't count season 5 because everyone, you know, got ranked 10.
Hey, I count that one. I count it.
That's the only time I've ever gotten it. It's the only Pikachu Libre I'm ever going to get.
Fish and Dino are like, yep, no, that didn't count.
And then I actually got my second account to 2950. So I just need 50 points for that one to hit Legend. So I'm going to try to do that tomorrow before Kanto comes up. So then I don't think the other account's going to hit Legend because it doesn't have the mons to do it. But, you know, next season I'll try to hit it for all three.
Having started with the arena, I have always I've always looked at GBL as being like, I don't know where the strategy is in GBL. And so I was going to ask for Dino's opinion on how to strategize for a blind format when you can't look at your opponent's team and think, okay, so this matchup works well and this, you know, if I start with this and switch into this, then I should get this effect.
Well, yeah, it's funny because a lot of people ask that question, but since, you know, you think about Open Great League and you think about like a lot of Pokemon.
Mm.
But in reality, you actually see a lot of the same Pokemon, kind of like you do maybe not so much in like Sylph, but to an extent, like let's just say like maybe top 30 instead of like top 15.
Yeah.
For example, like I know that a lot of teams consist of teams that were based off YouTube or Twitch. So, you know, you guys do Twitch, which, you know, a lot of people do. I don't do this, but they like, I think someone brought up another guy that got interviewed about sniping teams on Twitch. And then also people like, you know, Caleb or Zion, like they drop videos. For example, a huge one was Stunfisk, Galarian Stunfisk, Pelipper, and Tropius. That one is still around. I see it so constantly. As soon as I see a G-Fisk, the first thing that comes to my mind is this guy is running Pelipper and Tropius. And 60% of the time, I'm right. So I kind of base it off that. Like that's why I always tell Astro and anybody to watch, you know, keep track of what is trending on YouTube and also watch the top players on Twitch because people copy their teams. And that's how I base off my meta from that. And then a lot of people like, do you guys know, like, for example, like if you see a Shadow Hypno, would you happen to guess like what are the two mons in the back?
I would have no clue.
Most people run was a Shadow Hypno, Umbreon, and Scrafty is a popular team.
Sure.
So as soon as I see that, I try to assume that it's that team. Obviously, you know, there's times where some people like to like spice it up and change it up to confuse you. And that's cost me some games too, where I assume that this guy is using a trending team, but they weren't.
Sure.
But that's usually how I base off my thinking of when I see a team.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Because that's something that has pretty much like that's made kind of success in GBL a myth for me is the idea that like I just have no way of knowing what I'm about to come up against. So yeah, that's really good advice. Being able to, you know, keeping up with trends to be able to get a much better idea of what you might have to strategize against.
Yeah, exactly. And like you mentioned that you had to watch your videos to kind of see your mistakes, how when you're posting stuff on YouTube, and in the same way, like kind of study their videos and see. You can actually also, like when you're watching Twitch or streamers, you can see also what they're going against and what is going on at, like, you know, at nighttime. Like what are they seeing the most of, and kind of based off like your lineup on that.
Yeah.
And I've seen the trend where my team kind of doesn't work that well at night compared to like morning. Obviously it's just like, you know, like I have no proof of this.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
I agree with that because if I play in the morning, it's totally different than when I play at my normal time. time around like 10:30, 11 o'clock, like towards the end of the day, I'm a lot more successful at night than I am around that time, right before midnight. Anything after midnight, forget it. I don't play because I don't know what it is about like that midnight hour. Maybe there's more people streaming or something, but like I just get wrecked all over the place after midnight. And I'm just like, nope, I'm done. But I took that advice, started watching some of the YouTube videos. It's very, GBL is a lot more consistent now, I think, especially in Great League than when it first started. It was kind of, and it also bases on your rank, how high up. So what I see at Ace is totally different than what Dino sees every day at Legend. He's seeing a whole totally different meta every single day than I see. I could be seeing, you know, the videos from like 2 weeks ago, like these teams or whatever. Then you got people that are just throwing out whatever community day it was recently or whatever they just caught. So those are a little harder, but just pick your team, be consistent with it, stay on it. And that's kind of what I've done. It's not, I haven't hit Legend or anything higher than Ace yet, but next season, that's
you will legal. Next season. Yeah, you will next season.
And I believe it. I believe you'll get there pretty soon.
I hope that's what I'm hoping for. So I know just from listening to you guys, D5 wanted to hit veteran.
Yep.
Yep. Did we do that?
And I did that. And my stretch goal was to get the next one, which is elite, right? Whatever the next, the red one. The red one. I'm like 100 away. That's like, for me, GBL is like, I'm doing this for fun. Where like Sylph is more of my, like where my real PvP goals are. That's what I care about. This is just, I'm going to hop on. Like, it's easier to stream to just like hop on. I'm going to do quick battles, but it's where I have fun. So for me, it's fun to like learn one team like inside and out, know all my matchups, know one team really, really well. And just like, for me, that's like, I enjoy that process rather than like hopping on different trends. So maybe that's just going to keep me stuck around the 2600s and I'm okay with that because I just play to have fun. That's why I'm really excited for Kanto Cup to be unranked. I'd love for there to be an unranked option all the time because
there should be. Yeah,
for sure. Because I definitely have a lot more fun when I don't have to worry about like, oh man, I only won 1 out of 4. I got an 0-5. That's not fun. Like I loved, like I have so much more fun playing ranks like 1 to 19. And then like once I hit Ace, I'm like, this is less fun now.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's definitely stressful. I'm not going to lie. Like to get to Legend, I was stressed like daily.
So Dino's like the opposite. Dino used to do Sylph and then stop doing Sylph and focus more on GBL. I'm trying to get him back. But he's like, I don't want, can they, you know, is it unranked? Can I just be unranked all the time? I'm like, yeah, you can. And he's like, I don't even know if they'll let me in. So we got season 7 coming up. So what should we be doing to, you know, newer players or even players that don't play GBL as much? Like, Dino, what are some of the things that you think like the three of us should be doing to get ready for next season?
If Kanto is unranked and it doesn't really matter, it's for fun and we're still getting Stardust from GBL, I would say save that Stardust for the whole week. Don't power up anything, to be honest with you. Like, just use what you have. But obviously, that's just my opinion. At least that's what I'm going to be doing for all my accounts, saving the Stardust to power up stuff for next season.
What are you most looking forward to power up for next season?
Diggersby. I still don't have the XL one, which is like, I really like it. It's so tanky, but I see people using it. And I'm like, God, I want one.
My problem with Diggersby is it seems to be hard-walled by so many things. Like that fire punch is just not doing much damage. So like, yeah, it can take a hit, but it also can't really give out a hit.
I think the normal typing hurts it too, like counter users.
Normal typing hurts, yeah. So a lot of flyers don't have trouble with it because, obviously the earthquake isn't going to...
Maybe Skarmory would be the only one with the issue because of the steel typing.
Yeah.
But Altaria will just like destroy it.
Yeah, Tropius even. Like even though it's weak to...
Yeah, because it has the ground and the grass.
Yeah, exactly.
But actually, yeah, no, there was... I actually you mentioned fighting. I had my Toxicroak going against the Diggersby, and actually the Fire Punch did a lot just because Toxicroak's a little, you know, fragile.
Right.
And I had the shield, you know, the second one. But overall, okay. I still killed it.
Sorry, I wasn't trying to get you off of your goal. Like, I'm not saying don't bother with that shit.
Yeah, no, I'm still gonna do it for sure.
No, Diggersby's one, I don't have it at all. XL Umbreon is something I want to build at some point.
Yeah,
I've got my perfect powered up to 40, my perfect Umbreon, and it's got Last Resort, so I just, like, I have to get the XL candy to get me the rest of the way.
That's one that I think also Astra is working on, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm walking it. I think I've got like 1 kilometer left. I'll probably just walk around the house tonight and then evolve it so I don't have to use an elite TM. I think it's not perfect. I think it's a 14, 15, 15. So it's like one off, but it's still like top rank for Ultra League. I'm almost done with Diggersby. I think I'm just working on the XL candy part, which is extremely difficult. Like, it's like the hardest part of this whole thing, but I've almost best buddied him. So I'm trying to see. I have a theory with the best buddy CP boost of getting it to where it's a viable Great League CP without having to use, you know, I think it's like 100 and something or 200. What is it? Candy XL to get it up there to see where it will with the CP boost and then going up from there. So I don't have to use so much resources to get it up to where I need it to be.
Yeah, makes sense.
You can run a few sims on PV Poke to take a look at that. Like, running it with those best buddy with that best buddy level and IVs, and then run it against just a standard XL and see kind of what wins you drop or gain with each one.
Yeah, recently I started using that option that they have, like the matrix, where you can compare like two Diggersby different IVs and see like the matchups that they lose or win against. It's really awesome
because you can just scroll down the list and go, okay, so it looks like I do a little better against this Pokemon. This matchup flips completely. Do a little worse against this one.
Or if it stays the same, then you're like, all right, then you're good.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I looked at that for like Azumarill, like to see if my perfect Azumarill is still going to be viable. Because I know, like, when you pull it up, like when you pull up Pokegenie and you pull up and you praise it and all that stuff, it's like dropped down like from 1 to like, it was still, I think, in the top 30. I think it was like 26. It dropped down. Or like 16, it was something 6. So it's either 16 or 26. I don't remember. And then literally like the next week, I got one that was, I think it was like rank 3 or 4. It's so much. Like, I already spent all this time like building this Azumarill. Like, there's other Pokemon that I can put my time and resources into besides ones that I already have.
Stardust doesn't grow on trees.
Exactly.
It doesn't, but I caught a shiny rank 3 Medicham when it gets to level like the 50 best buddy. And I'm like, now I'm like, oh. Oh, I need to build this now. It's shiny.
Shiny flex.
I need it. I need, yeah, shiny type attack bonus. Shinies do more damage.
Shinies do more damage. But I mean, with that case, like, yeah, if it's something like you're like, oh, I just want to use it, like whatever. But like we tell like our listeners who are starting off, a lot of them are new. They don't have the resources or the other Pokemon. Like, if you've got one that's good, you've already double moved it, you've already put in the Stardust, just leave it alone and focus on the other ones that you need. So, which is a good transition into our question and answer segment.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
That's not gonna get old.
I should keep this recording and just play it like every time we do our, like when you guys aren't on with us, just so I can see your faces every time we play the music. Because it makes it so much better, like seeing the reaction to it. So we didn't get a lot of questions because we don't have DeFi sending us a question. So it would have been 3 normally. We got 2. So the first question we got here from Twitter is from ISO33. And there's a screenshot that goes along with it, but I think it still kind of makes sense. And it was a question, so, you know, we're going to read it. So they write, is something like a Medichan actually worth putting 500k Stardust? Will it always be relevant, or could it get nerfed to a moveset that makes it worthless? And is there any other mon that are safe to put Stardust into that will always stay relevant in the meta? I want to expand my roster, but have burned quite a bit of dust building out mon that I could never get to work. This is the story of my life.
I was going to say that, like, a lot of people say that.
I think this is kind of something that all new players go through, is you build something and then it doesn't work. So then you build something new and then the fast move gets nuked or the charge move gets nuked. Or, you know, I was working on a Registeel and then they, you know, did whatever they did to Focus Blast and now no one runs it anymore. That's video games. Like, that's games. That's just the way it's going to be. My pick would be,
you know, I think what a Pokemon that is always going to be safe to have. Is that was the question, right?
Yeah, and he posted screenshots of some Pokemon he's already have built for Great League. And he's got quite a few.
Yeah, it's pretty good if he's new.
And a lot of them are quite meta. Like, he's got Nazumarill. He's got the Umbreon. Like Alolan Muk and Altaria and Umbreon, Alolan Marowak. So they're all quite relevant Pokemon.
Yeah.
Well, not all of them. There is a Scolipede here.
Hey.
And an Electrode.
That's probably from the Muk.
Yeah.
That's kind of like my Sudowoodo.
Right.
Yeah, it was probably that Silph tournament.
Yeah, where everybody was going crazy.
Carried me to Ace in Catacomb Cup, but it wasn't very useful after that.
No, it wasn't.
But, I know, Fish, you were looking at this earlier because I saw you commented on Twitter, but, like, Medicham was already nerfed. Like, Power Up Punch already got a nerf, and it's still incredible. Like, it's still super relevant. I would say, like, with Pokemon, nothing, you can't ever quite count a Pokemon out, for sure. Like, I feel like every Pokemon is just one update away from being relevant. I'm still holding out for Lopunny. I'm still holding out for my Lopunny update.
No, that's the only one. That's the one that's never going to happen.
That's never going to happen.
Oh, hush.
But also, on the flip side, there's no Pokemon that we could say this is not ever going to be nerfed. Like, it's always going to 100% be relevant.
Like, Azu, too. Like, Azu got a nerf. It's still relevant, but it got nerfed, but then you have Pokemon like Registeel. And even still, like, Registeel's still pretty good, but it's not as OP as it used to be. Like, no Pokemon is 100% safe, but you also can't 100% count a Pokemon out. It's not black and white like that.
Yeah, for me, I feel like, just the top of my head, I feel like the safest Pokemon, which I've said many times before, is Purified Sableye. And I feel like I don't see it getting nerfed, like, thinking about the moves that it has. But, you know, it's just always a good safe swap for, like, almost any team.
Yep. So Sableye is one I don't see that ISO 33 has, so that might be a good one. Where, again, it could get a massive nerf, and so you can't 100% count on it. It's
knock on wood.
I know, but, like, it's cut. Like, its typing is amazing. So, like, even if it gets a bit of a nerf, I still feel like, because I think the thing that carries Sableye is its incredible typing.
Yeah. PB Poke is a good resource to kind of see. They don't just do, you know, Silph rankings. They do GBL rankings. So that's another good place to look and see where some of the top Pokemon that are being used invest in. So, and then, you know, my other piece of advice that I tell everyone, and it's something that I do regularly, is reach out to people you know that play all the time, that are higher ranks than you. Dino is always available on Twitter. You can always message him. He always messages you right back at some point in the day, but he, you know, it's never like he's ghosting you. I'm sure, you know, if you reach out to Fish or DeFi and ask questions on Twitter as well, you know, we are people that will answer your questions, and there's no judgment. It's a judgment-free zone because that's what we're here for. If you message me, I promise you, I will ask Dino and then reply back from my Twitter account and make it seem like I know exactly what I'm talking about. Either that or I'm going, that was a really good question. Man, what is the answer? Because I need to know that.
That's how I feel with PvP Corner with Fish. Like, let me ask. Let me ask Fish, and I'll get back to you.
So our last question comes from Kingflip and says, How was everyone's Kanto day? And any sleepers for the Kanto Cup nobody's really talking about? Also, everyone's opinions on the biggest perk, example, 40 Magikarp without a pinup and 80 candy with each catch. And what was their biggest disappointment of the day? So Kanto was good. Sleepers, I don't think there really is a sleeper in Kanto. Like,
I'm going to be using my Shadow Mewtwo. That's all I'm going to say.
We need videos.
I sent one yesterday to Astro, and he was just like bowing down. It's too scary, yo. The thing is a monster, yeah. But fragile.
I'm wondering, so I'm looking at the Kanto Cup PB Poke rankings, and I see at number 8, not Sand Slash, but Sand Shrew for Alolan XL. And again, it's one of those situations, like, who's going to build an XL Alolan Sand Shrew, but someone's going to do it.
And it's someone's going to build higher than Sand Slash. Like, Sand Slash is down 19.
It's going to be Dino. We talked about this, and he, like, no, we talked. He was like, we looked at that. There was a list that came out, was it last week or a week before, with the Lucky Trade thing that was going on. And that was one of the Pokemon to Lucky Trade, was the Alolan Sandshrew. And we looked at it, and we were like, we were all like, what the heck? How is this? Like, we thought Sandslash. I'm like, why would you need a lucky one of the? And it was Sandshrew. And then we looked at the moves and the stats, and it was like, wow, it's actually a really good Pokemon.
Yeah, and it beats the main meta. It beats Hypno, it beats Mew, it beats the Charmers, Wigglytuff, and Clefable. Yeah. So it has a lot of really good wins.
Yeah, I don't understand how it's better. I was just looking at the stats, and it just doesn't make sense to me.
So it might be something to do with the second move of Blizzard versus Bulldoze.
Could be, yeah. Bulldoze is very...
Yeah.
Ooh, and this thing's got Night Slash. You get the boost. I love my Pokemon that get the boost. Now it just became a feeling to me.
Yeah, I mean, we looked at it, and it's good. It's just, it's going to be, it's expensive. It's going to be very expensive.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, Kingflip. I don't see really, like, any sleepers. It just, like, they're there. Kanto is there. So that's it for questions, and I think that's it for a show. You know, thank you everyone for listening. So if you guys have any questions, you can follow us on Twitter at BTWPVPpodcast. You can email us at btwpvp@gmail.com. We are on Apple, Google, Spotify, pretty much all podcast streaming sites or whatever they're called, apps. Rate, subscribe, review. It's very much appreciated. Just wanted to do a little housekeeping. Everything with our Discord is set up as far as channels, all of that stuff, except for I have no idea how to do all these bots and things like that everybody likes. So I'm still trying to figure that out. So fingers crossed that should be up and running, I'm hoping, by the end of the month, beginning of next month. Again, if anyone knows how to do that stuff, please let me know, because I have no idea how to get, like, when DeFi is streaming for everyone to get that notification, or if someone tweets something, it pops up on that channel. I don't know how. So, and then we'll also have the merch ready for the start of the month. And that is it. I really want to thank DeFi250 and Fishani Heater for joining us today. It was a lot of fun. I was very excited to do this. I listen to you guys, you know, every week on GoCast. And, you know, I thought it was appropriate for you guys to be our first guest, since I listen to, you know, I take a lot of your guys' advice. So thank you guys for coming. So why don't you guys plug where you can be found so people can watch your streams or see your videos or what?
Go for it, Fish.
Well, first, absolute pleasure to be here. So thanks for having us on. So Twitter would be at @FishOnAHeater_. Twitch is FishOnAHeaterPVP. YouTube is just Fish on a Heater. That's it. Go for a deep one.
Yeah, and definitely honored to be on here. Thank you so much. My links, Twitch, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, it's all DeFiE250, the beauty of having a unique username. And we'll give you those links if you want to put them in your show notes. And yeah, on Twitch, I do PvP streams, Pokemon Go on Fridays. And then Tuesdays I do Spotlight Hour, and Wednesdays I play Pokemon Crystal. So do a little bit of everything.
So again, thank you so much, you guys, for coming and being on the show and putting in the time. I know we went longer than what you guys are normally probably used to recording.
You'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised how long it takes to record a 15-minute segment.
Okay.
Have you listened to the latest episode of GoCast?
The one that just came out, I think it was yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Something like that, yeah.
It was on in the background while we were playing, and then I remembered that the music was different in Pogo, and I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to this later.
So I basically had to interject. So I recorded something after we'd finished our initial recording. I recorded another thing just interjecting partway through. I just cut a whole part of it out. And just said, hey, listeners, it's Fish coming to you from the future. So we recorded this whole thing about the Kanto Cup, and the recording ended up going for about 2 to 3 years. So because we talked about Kanto Cup before, here's exactly where you can find that conversation. And for now, we'll just have the rest of it. And so I had to just cut that whole bit out because we were just talking so long. That's awesome.
Hopefully we won't cut out a whole bunch of this. Maybe so. Thank you guys. Anytime you guys want to come on individually as a team, just let me know. You know, we are more than welcome. And, guys, follow them on Twitter, follow them on Twitch, YouTube, all the stuff. They put out great content. And then listen to them every week on the GoCast podcast. They're segment is, 15 minutes, maybe 20, I think sometimes, but it's extremely informative. It gets right to the point. It's not, doesn't have all the dumbness of us, but it's
oh, come on now.
Well, it's maybe just me, Dino. Dino's the smart one here. last week was terrible. Like, that's why I even named the show. Like, apparently I forgot what Pokemon was when we recorded last week. Because I left it in. Like, I could have very easily like cut out the whole part where I totally forgot that Farfetch'd was part of was a Kantonian Pokemon, and was so adamant that it was not. but I left it in there because that's what we do. We learn from our mistakes. So thank you everyone for listening to the BTW Beginner to Winner PvP podcast. I'm AstroZombie954.
I am Dino El Magico.
I'm DeFi250.
And I'm AstroZombie954.
Yes, you are. Much handsomer.
And I'm Fish on a Heater. And until next time, good luck and good get luck good.
And get
we screwed that up.
Weatherball is amazing. Weatherball is life. Weatherball is bae.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.